trumpeter Nate Woolley will be performing a new composition for Kenneth Gaburo on February 12th at the Curtis R. Prem Experimental Media and Performing Arts Center, MPAC, at Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute in Troy. The show begins at 8 o'clock. Woolley is known for extended trumpet techniques that allow him to access a larger scope of sounds. For this project, he'll be vocalizing texts written by Kenneth Gaburo through his instrument. Nate Woolley joins us now along with MPAC's music curator, Argio Ascani. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.
Very nice to have you both here. So let us begin with how this whole project came about.
I guess it came about by the fact that I don't like the trumpet very much.
You've admitted. At what point in your life did you understand that you didn't like?
I think the first time I ever heard one.
Okay.
It's a serious problem. I went to a music conservatory, and of course, there's a lot of trumpet players there, and yes. It just was an instrument I could never really wrap my hand or my head around. Pardon me. I sort of felt that I needed to kind of get to the bottom of this problem, and so I started exploring basically throughout my life the trumpet and how it could kind of be used in different ways or ways that are sort of outside the norm. And you run across a couple of these really brilliant individuals who are really doing something very different with the instrument, and Nate is one of them, and it's have to be part of that.
Were you at ever a point, Nate, where you did not like the trumpet?
I actually don't particularly like the trumpet either. I grew up playing it.
Okay.
And at one point was fascinated by other trumpet player sounds, but I think after playing it for 30 years, and I started playing professionally when I was really young, so it's like I got to a certain point where I got bored with that sound, and then I started to be displeased by the regular sound of it. And that's a lot of that is where the things that I do now come from. I wouldn't say that I don't like it. I would say I'm a bit dissatisfied with the way it's played.
So does the dissatisfaction, and you said in the way it's mm-hmm. played, so that sort of answers the question, but does the dissatisfaction come from the instrument or the player?
I think it comes from the way the player is taught to play. I went through conservatory too, and it's a very specific, kind of hyper-specific way in which the trumpet is supposed to sound. It's supposed to sound like a flute up high and a cello down low. I've heard, you know, every day for years and years and years and years. And the only thing that you could look at from that came from the outside that was outside of the A-B correct, incorrect was jazz players. But even within that there was a correct way to play and an incorrect way. So I became fascinated with the idea of what if you set yourself up to be completely outside of the correct, incorrect way, and create music in which kind of the failure of playing the trumpet creates something new that hasn't been done before and isn't within the way that it's supposed to be played, either in the classical or the jazz world.
So with that in your mind, there is no wrong way then, really?
No, not really. I mean, obviously you still make musical choices. It's not, you have to try to create something that is on the other side of the line of just someone screwing around on an instrument. And so there's a lot of rigor in the way the music is put together, but then I try and keep it open to allow the sound to be what it is and deal with it in the moment.
Is there a fine line between noise and music?
There is for me. I think intent is where that fine line exists. I have a 2-year-old nephew that is fascinated by the trumpet, and he plays my trumpet, and the sounds that come out are fantastic, and I would term them music because he's intending to make a sound.
Right.
If someone picks up the horn and just blows into it and whatever comes out, that because the intent isn't there, then I feel like there's a noise to it. My nephew is trying to make a piece of music. I mean, in his mind, he's like, this is my tune for Uncle Nate. And so that's kind of the line for me. So even though a lot of these pieces have things that I think some people would qualitatively call noise, the fact that I'm constructing or attempting to construct a piece of music, there's an architecture to it, a flow, narrative, makes it music to me.
So you use the term a moment ago of you know, the difference, and this is the difference between someone just screwing around on the trumpet.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Of just making,
yeah,
it
absolutely
is the intent. So in this particular piece that you will be performing on February 12th, how did that come about, and ultimately what is it that you wanted to accomplish?
Well, the initial impetus of this piece came out of that dissatisfaction with the correct way that the trumpet should sound, and it was a dissatisfaction with myself. I was completely playing the horn in this way and couldn't really get myself out of that. So it started by trying to figure out a way that I could set up for failure in my own playing, and force myself to be okay with that. You know, force myself to be okay with something that wasn't as I intended it to be. So I started thinking about how I could do that, and what came to mind was setting up my mouth in different ways that were unnatural. And the easiest way to think about that was to think about the different ways that your tongue and your throat and your nasal cavity and all these things combine to create different syllables in words.
So explain this to me. Let me see if I can put this into words. Where do you know the sound that you're looking for, and it is trying to create that of what you hear internally, or is it through exploration that you discover a sound that perhaps you didn't even know was possible that you were looking for?
I think it's the latter. I think it's the latter, and I think it moves back and forth. You know, sometimes you expand, so you experiment and you find things you weren't intending to find, but you like them, and then you refine them and become physically capable of reproducing them, and doing it in a way that is not physically taxing, and put them in a context that is musical. So this piece, I think, is in the expansion phase where the sounds coming out, I don't really have control over. And so once they're there, I'm kind of taking note of them and trying to develop them as they go.
Talk about the text written by Kenneth Gaburo and the vocalizing of those.
The Kenneth Gaburo text it's actually a prologue to one of his writings about ecology and music. And Gaburo was a great composer that dealt with a lot of linguistics in his work, but usually just with voices, people speaking and singing. I wanted to take the text and make it much longer and make each syllable, each phoneme that makes up each syllable, abstracted through the trumpet and through electronics. And the idea was that the meaning of the sound doesn't necessarily tie into the words that Gaburo wrote, but instead the people listening, because letters are repeated and sounds are repeated, start to come up with their own kind of syntax of almost a new language, a musical language. So the trumpet is replacing the sound of the letters completely. So to the listener, they can either look at the text and try and see which sounds correspond to which letters, or they can really just come up with their own syntax and think of it as a language being spoken that they've never heard before.
The performance will take place February 12th at MPAC. Show begins at 8 o'clock, and you can find out more information by going to mpac.rpi.edu. RJO, tell us how this fits into the greater season and work that is being done on MPAC.
Sure. I would say that over the past year or so, I've been exploring these different musical genres. A lot of the things that we did in the fall focused on electronic music, electronically produced sounds. And most of the things we're doing this season are sort of focused on acoustically produced sounds, so people playing traditional instruments in maybe unconventional ways or conventional ways. And I think Nate kind of fits squarely on the range of ideas people are putting forth in America for contemporary music.
All of this is part of. So when you do something and you present this, how long has this been in the works? How long have you been working with Nate to make this happen?
Ooh, I think Nate came to do sort of a smaller show a year and a half ago, 2 years now,
yeah,
something
I think
like
so.
That. Yeah.
Yeah,
and so that was sort of our sort of first introduction. And then he sort of proposed doing a recording, which he's in residence doing in the concert hall right now, actually. And so all week he'll be recording audio and video of this piece and then performing it on Friday. And so, yeah, it's just sort of been in the works for about 2 years.
Mm.
It's a long time.
I was going to say it moves slow, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. It's
but
funny.
Worth the wait. Yeah.
Yeah. Everything gets planned, you know, so far in advance that it's just, you know, it's finally a relief to get it, you know, out into the world.
What is the video element?
It's just a recording of me performing the piece.
All right.
And it's kind of nice. There are some close-ups of my face and neck where you can see small movements and how they affect the sound. I think it's very nice.
Do you learn from watching that to see what's moving around in your head and
neck
when
you're
doing
actually.
It?
It's nice. Really, the most difficult part of this piece is the physical part of it. So even looking a little bit yesterday that I could, I saw there were certain things with the jaw that I was using more energy than I needed to. And even though, you know, to the outside audience, I'm just sitting there in a chair playing trumpet. All these small things, there's a lot of muscle movement that I can see that is exhausting to me. So then I can say, okay, well, this, I could have changed that a little bit to make it a little easier.
Do you think you subconsciously know that or feel it as you're doing it, and it isn't until you see it that it kind of makes the connection?
I think so. And a lot of times I don't feel it until it's too late. You know, it's like, oh, now I'm tired.
Oh, great. Now that. Yeah. And this may, and I will admit this sounds like a stupid question, but I'm now curious. Does the beard help in the sense that you see, so it's easier to see what's going on in your jaw? You have a very full beard. So I question as to.
I don't know.
Okay.
It might. That's a good question. I'm going to actually, when we do video today, I'll check.
Okay.
I think it could.
Yeah.
Probably.
Maybe because you have like more, it's like more sensors. You can see the
stuff moving
there.
Yeah, you can see the little bristlies.
Right. Yeah. Where else but public radio do you get such probing insight than on this show? Wow. Nate Woolley will finish up his recording residency at MPAC with a performance for Kenneth Gaburo this Friday, February 12th at 8 p.m. at MPAC in Troy. For more information, visit mpac.rpi.edu. mpac.rpi.edu. Nate Woolley and Argeo Ascani, thank you very much for being with us at Argeo. I apologize. Argeo Ascani, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure having you both here, and best of luck on the end of the run.
Right, thank you very
so much.
Thank you very much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.